This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking their mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Lloydy, 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 how you feeling, mate?
The dream's over.
The FA Cup dream is dead. But this kind of was living the dream, wasn't it? I mean, did you really expect to win it?
I mean, I didn't expect to get to the second round, let alone the quarterfinals. For any listeners that don't like football, which, I mean, there might be a few, and actually a few of us have tweeted that they...
Yeah, we've had some tweets. You don't have to like football to like this podcast.
You don't have to like football to like this podcast. You don't have to like us to like this podcast. You just have to need to fill time in your day in order to listen to this podcast.
Because we are the only podcast available.
So. There's three podcasts.
Yeah, of course there are.
Desert Island Discs, and I don't know what the other one is.
But Early Work with Rhys James.
R.I.P. So Grimsby Town, who are a football team, got into the quarterfinals of an FA Cup, which is a football competition, against absolutely all the odds. So at one point, we were in the last seven.
Yeah, it was...
It was the last six because two teams got knocked out before us.
Right, okay. So this is the sort of level we're talking about, that you're taking pure technicalities to tell you that you're in the last six.
Grimsby's now got to the last six.
Definitely got to the last eight and had beaten Premier League Southampton
For the time being, Premier League Southampton, yes.
Well, at the time of record, still
at the time of record, but they're absolutely going to get.
And actually, if you ask me, a Spurs fan, Southampton are a good side who play to the end, and I respect them. You know, they might win a penalty in the 90th minute and score it, and then you draw 3-3, having been 3-1 up. It's fine.
No, anyway, Lloyd, beating Southampton isn't for everyone, is it?
It's not for everyone. And actually, what did I text you when Grimsby got through against Southampton, which was obviously absolutely enormous? Tottenham got knocked out to Sheffield United on the same evening. So yes. I couldn't really bask in your glory too much. And so I texted you saying FA Cup's for dweebs, mate. But congratulations. Yesterday, when you got battered by Brighton, I just reminded you of that text. FA Cup's for dweebs. Don't worry about it.
Oh, you did. You did. Do you know what? I didn't even read it.
Too pissed.
Well, I mean, no, didn't not too pissed, but there was just a lot of stuff. A lot of people go, oh, well done, mate. I mean, not that I had anything to do with it, but oh, well done, mate. You did well. I mean, blah, blah. Like, so, not to dwell on the game too much, because this isn't a
football
podcast.
You were there,
podcast.
Though, right? You were there.
Well, of course I was there, mate. Oh, yeah, was I there? Yes, I was there. There was no tour infringing on this occasion. I left Grimsby at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. I got to Brighton by 25 past 10. I had a lovely breakfast. I had a lovely lunch. I did a lot of eating. We went to the game. Their goalkeeper should have been sent off, and we should have been in the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Like, why is that not on the front page of the Times today? I mean, what, like,
I think famously they put the sport on the back page, but...
Right, okay, so you've never read a paper during the World Cup. You've never read the Grimsby Telegraph during Grimsby Town's promotion the last two times it's happened. Interesting.
Well, I'll admit, I've never read the Grimsby Telegraph, that's correct.
Good Telegraph.
Fine, I trust you.
Good honest local news.
I do agree. He handled the ball outside, very, very clearly outside the area.
Why did he get sent off?
I was watching it on telly. Even the commentators were like, oh, that looks like it's on the line. They showed us one angle that was so clearly outside the box. And then they went, yeah, well, it did look like it was on the line from that angle. And I was like, no, it didn't. It looked like it was outside the fucking box.
It's absolutely insane. Like, why have they not got Hawkeye for every line possible? That's what they should do.
I tell you who else might dislike Brighton at the moment is our guest this week.
Lovely
Doc
link.
Brown.
Doc Brown.
Ben Bailey-Smith / Doc Brown, who happens to be a Crystal Palace fan. And as we know, they're fierce rivals, Brighton. I'd say the weakest rivalry in the football pyramid.
It's so weird, isn't it? Like the A23.
It's so far away. I mean, it's miles away. None of them care about each other.
But Ben Bailey-Smith, aka Doc Brown, one of the most talented blokes, I think, out there. Like, does everything. Does absolutely
does everything. Acts, one of those
raps,
quintuple threats.
Comedian, writes, everything.
Yeah, he's a lyricist, and he's so I expect him to have some sort of lyrical approach to the, you know, to running a football club. I assume he'll do Palace.
I think. Well, I mean, it'd be weird if he doesn't, because he goes a lot and he knows a lot about him. But who knows on this podcast? The podcast
people like to mix it up, don't they? You never know. And
the podcast
where
you don't need to be a football fan.
Exactly. I mean, people are already listening, so we're doing a lot of plugging for it now. I could have done with you plugging it like that when you're on every radio station for the last week. You should have been saying, hopefully the result will be fit and proper, which if you search in your podcast apps, et cetera,
hey, look, do you know what? I'll save it for when Grimsby Town gets the quarterfinal and semifinal next year.
Perfect. In the meantime, here is Doc Brown.
Joining us this week on Fit and Proper is, well, everything. We normally do a list.
Absolutely everything.
But this is genuinely everything. Normally we're riffing when we're like comedian, actor, writer, star of stage and screen, rapper. These are all actually true for once.
These are true.
Normally, at least the rapper is ironic when we say that about our guest. But on this occasion, it is true. The man's got a legacy. It's Ben Bailey-Smith / Doc Brown.
The man's got two names.
He's got two names.
This can't get enough, can I?
You love it. You love the names.
What a great football fan, crucially, as well.
Yes, yes. It'd be weird if you... weren't? Have you had people
stretching that phrase?
Why is it called fit and proper? Start from square one with this guy.
I was showing someone the other day, like the Financial Regulation Authority. I was like, very much like that, but just with football. They're like, okay, cool. So is it football based? I was like, loosely?
Yeah.
Loosely football
based. Tries to be with the right guest. Crystal Palace fan?
Yes.
And
yes.
Going back actually to the rapper credentials, you've done Crystal Palace raps.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of crossed everything over at some point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've made music for like serious dramas that I've acted in.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, I've rapped for the club. It's like, in fact, I think I was trying to remember, someone was like, how do you know Steve Parrish? Who, ironically, I'm taking over in this podcast. And I just couldn't remember how. And they said, was it when you did the song for Crystal Palace? And I think it was. I think what happened was I made... off my own back an FA Cup song because I thought it'd be fun. And then he tweeted something about it and how he was going to play it at Wembley on the day.
Wow.
And then someone added me, and that was the magic of social media. Then he invited me to a game, and now, I'm like, whatever the prawn sandwich is in 2023,
prawn sandwiches.
So you director's box when you go there?
Yeah, pretty much every time. That's why I love going away, because...
the
it
real
reminds me
experience.
About the time when I wasn't a wanker. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let's go back to the days before you were a wanker.
and welcome to the show.
So you supported Crystal Palace your whole life, South Londoner?
No, both my parents are South Londoners. So I inherited Palace from my dad. And I was a very late bloomer. I was obsessed with football from a very early age. But being a kid of the 80s, it was like Liverpool, Everton. Just I didn't support them. I just liked to watch them. Yeah. And my first game was QPR Liverpool in 88 because the guy who lived in the flat downstairs to me. So I grew up in Willesden,
right,
Kilburn, that area. The guy who lived downstairs was like a huge Liverpool fan. So he took me with his mental like Northern Irish mates. They're all absolute alcoholics. Not like, hey, we like a beer on a Saturday. I mean, these guys drink from like 8 a.m., and they took me to QPR Liverpool. Don't know how my mum let. Like nine?
nine.
Terrifying.
In your like late teens or something, like nine years old.
And you could get down to like Loftus Road in those days. Like it was just like a little wall, like knee height between the fans and the touchline. And if you were a kid, you could just roam anywhere. There's no seats. So I just roamed through, seeing all the contraband get handed hand to hand, like down to the wall where all the kids were. And it was right at the halfway line. So I had an amazing view, and it was just so intoxicating. I remember the ball coming out and going out near me, and Steve Nicol running up from left back to take it. And then John Barnes coming up and going, no, no, stay, get back, I'll take it. And he picked up the ball, and he was stood so close to me that I could have reached out and touched the 10 on his back. And that was it. I was obsessed with football I was already obsessed with it on telly and stuff, but to see it was incredible. And then I went to various other places. I went to Highbury, White Hart Lane, just anything that was around North or West London.
Yeah.
But nothing really hit me in a sort of, oh, this is the team you should support. So then I started asking about if there was any affiliations with the family, you know. And my dad was a Palace fan. My older half-brother was a Palace fan. And all my family was South London. So I thought, well, let's check that out. But my first actual game wasn't until I was like 17 or something. Bizarrely in Norwich.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a 1-1 draw with Norwich.
You go regularly now?
Yep.
And you sit in like the nice bits?
I sit just behind Parrish and Brighty.
Dear.
And they've got TVs. So where I sit, like Selhurst is so knackered, like it's so old. And if you sit on the side in the main stand, even if you're in the director's section, the roof comes so low that you can't see the big screens. You can't see them. They're completely obscured. So you can't see that. And obviously we don't get replays anyway, but they've got two big TV screens, one each.
Oh, do they?
With replays. Mm. So you can like sort of peer over their shoulder. Which is quite
nice. Like a little VAR moment in a televised game.
If you're right in the bleachers, if you're in the back row of the main stand,
you won't see.
You can't even see the very far side of the pitch. Like that bit's obscured because the roof comes down. So it's nuts.
It's so bad.
That stadium is just so badly
designed.
It's
so good though.
But I do love
it. It's an amazing stadium.
Yeah, it's great. I love it going and sitting with Parrish and Brady. The only thing is I'm the only one who makes noise, so I'm really self-conscious the whole time.
And you can't slag them off.
And I can't swear, and I can't be too mean about Palace players.
So pass it, you idiot.
Every now and then, I say probably every fifth game, I'll just go in the lower Holmesdale with the nutters just to sort of get it all out of my system.
My mum's Facebook friends with Brighty. I don't know.
He's a lovely man.
I don't know why. It's something I've not really chatted to him about. But
we'll
look
into that.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Really funny guy, constantly ribbing you, like constantly. Do you know what I mean? He's always having a little dig at you. It's brilliant.
Yeah. He's funny as well.
Really funny.
Really funny.
Really funny.
So with Palace, are you happy with where they are at the moment? Are you happy with what's going on currently?
Well, I'm always
be very careful here. Because
I'm in a WhatsApp group, obviously, as a lot of us football fans are, with like a shitload of Eagles, and I think I'm probably the one of two or three people that are constantly optimistic.
Yeah,
and it's because I think where we're at is amazing. Like if you in the wider scope of things, we were not even a yo-yo team like West Brom or West Ham, you know. We would come up for a season, go back down, and then just stay down. It wasn't like we were coming back up a couple of seasons later. You know, in my lifetime, we've just been shit, really. And, you know, apart from 90 and 91, where we were genuinely amazing, I mean, we finished third in the league in 91, behind Arsenal and Chelsea, which is that's mind-blowing. But naturally, because we're naturally unlucky, it was before the Champions League places were invented. And it was before the invention of the Premier League as we know it as well.
91?
Yeah.
So like what, 2 years before?
Exactly. And when that did occur, what happened to Palace? Got relegated.
Of course.
So it's classic, you know. And then here and there, we come up one season and then gone. But not a yo-yo club, just bad.
Yeah. But overall, so, you're happy?
Yeah, because this is our 10th
kind of
year.
Premier League
it's
staple now. Yeah,
year.
Yeah.
Is it 10 years?
10 years in the Premier League.
That's like, great.
For Palace, that is unheard of. Mm. So I think people have to get perspective. But of course, because it's been 10 years, if you were 10 years old when we got promoted in 2013, you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, we should be
pushing for Europe. We should be doing that. Why aren't we making these big signings? We're still a very parochial club for a London club.
Yeah.
If you're a kid in London, why would you support Palace? So like, there's so far to go. As long as we can just stay up, I think that's a successful season for
me. Funny you mentioned that, because breaking news.
Breaking news just reaching us now. Ben Bailey-Smith, or as you may know him, Doc Brown, has taken over the reins of Crystal Palace. This is huge news. More on it as we get it, but just to confirm, Ben Bailey-Smith is the new owner of Crystal Palace.
Wow.
Fair play. Congrats.
Kept that under your coat.
I think it's about time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's been coming.
Yeah.
It's been coming. He's in with the fans, but he's in with the board.
Do you know what I mean? I'm the perfect sort of medium.
Yeah.
I can hold a fans forum that's not going to get overly aggressive.
Yeah, you can do deals.
Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah. Obviously friends with SP, Steve Parrish.
Yes.
You bought it off
ousted.
Him. Ousted.
He's out. Gone.
How much did it cost you?
Well, it was a pretty penny, I'm not going to lie. But if you look at the rest of the Premier League, it was one of the ones that was on the shelf at the end of the aisle in Sainsbury's around about 7 p.m. Do you know what I mean?
Was there a sticker on it?
Yeah, a little yellow sticker.
Little yellow sticker.
Just the new barcode over the old barcode. So, you know, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm doing okay.
And how's Steve about it? Is he happy to be taken over?
He was a bit tired of all the bullshit. So he's happy to step aside. You know, we had a nice glass of red wine and he handed it over to me. It was almost a romantic moment.
Is that his tipple of choice, red wine?
Actually, I've never seen him drink, so I couldn't say.
I have seen him drink. I think I've discussed it before. He had an Earl Grey.
Right, okay.
He had an Earl Grey tea.
There you go.
He was in Kettner's Town House. He's wearing a full tracksuit. I had nothing but respect for the bloke.
Well, he'll be spending a lot more time there now.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a job to do anymore.
Yeah, he will be.
Mm. So he'll be...
probably still wearing the tracksuit, yeah.
Kettner's, different spas.
The SP will just get faded over and over the years.
Yeah. Soho Farmhouse, he'll be all of those sorts of places.
Well, congratulations on taking over Crystal Palace.
So, but you were saying just before that breaking news happened that you were kind of happy with the way things were going. So does that mean ambitions-wise it's kind of like stay there, or are you going to go the European push now?
Well, you know, I was happy with how things were going under the previous owners, but you know, I always knew that with my star power and the cash injection I've got behind me, there's some silent investors, faceless investors, I'd be able to make some serious power moves.
Could you allude to the faceless?
No one will ever know who they are, and I don't want to out them because the thing that I've been waiting for in amongst the, you know, this mid-table mediocrity, it's fine, but the thing that I've been waiting for is absolute power, because I think what Palace have really been lacking in their over 100 year history is a true like megalomaniac behind them.
Yeah.
And I think I can be that guy, because Palace, no one's scared of Palace. Do you know what I mean? No one's ever scared of Palace. Whenever I speak to fans of other clubs, they kind of like, you know, when you say, I'm a Man United fan for my sins.
Yeah.
And then, Man United, fucking hate him. Everyone's got a strong opinion about big clubs. When you say you support Palace, or I'm sure you have it with Grimsby, people are like, oh, yeah, nice.
You know,
and it's time, it's time to fucking
good for you.
End that.
Good for you.
Like, I don't just want to be a superpower in football. It's more than glory. What I'm heading for, like once we win the league and get into Europe,
more
Champions
than glory.
League,
that's
more than glory.
Yeah, already nice. Sounds like your kind of like new Amazon special.
Yeah, More Than Glory will be the name of the documentary, and you know, once I change the motto and everything, we win the league, Champions League, World Club Cup, then it's like then we're gonna start.
Audi Cup, you're going to go for the Audi
Cup? Do the Audi Cup, we'll do all the brands, rake in the cash, and then we'll start like setting like small military coups in vulnerable countries. so that Palace will be a true terrifying superpower. I'm going for fear. That's
fear
what I'm going
factor.
For. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, this is nice. This is, yeah.
Sometimes too cuddly.
What I would
fucking
say
over.
Is if you're going for fear, then More Than Glory does sound a bit too close to Morning Glory to be that.
That's true.
Scary. I was going to do
our motto in Latin to keep it traditional.
Yeah.
Maybe Puer Mundi, which means fuck the world.
Fuck the world. Like, a lot of people, it's like, oh yeah, you've got to be careful. Like, the owners aren't that, like, you know, it's usually unethical, the owners, yeah. Unethical, whereas actually the club sounds not unethical, but like, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, like, terrifying. You know, when they say, like, you go into a cauldron, or, you know, it's intimidating, like, Old Trafford's a fortress again. Like, I'm talking about real terror.
Yeah.
A reign of terror that starts with football, wow. And then and travels. Leads to military. Yeah, yeah.
I like the direction. Mm. It's not something that someone's brought before, but this is, yeah, I'm in. I'm invested.
Well, is that going to affect the, want of a better word, recruitment at the club?
Well, the thing is, we're going to start in a, it's going to be a fascinating beginning, but I'm going to lull people into a false sense of security. So it's all going to start with a sort of cultural shift. First off, we get the fuck out of Southeast London. It's too hard to get to Selhurst Park. Mm. So we stick the stadium in Soho, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone can get there.
Soho needs
Everyone likes hanging out there.
Yeah. And lots of space in Soho, famously. Exactly.
So I've already started talking to the government, hoodwinked them, yeah. Essentially, into giving up this chunk right in the centre of London.
Whereabouts?
In the promise that, you know, I'm going to bring 40,000 more people to spend money and boost the economy,
yeah.
in the heart of the capital every other weekend. And because Tories never read the small print, it's been piece of piss. So
Soho Square, is that where you're going, or is it?
Yeah, I think that would be the very center. Yeah, the center circle right there in Soho Square, and then we just demolish everything around it. There.
Shame for that St. Patrick's Catholic Church. That's just
gone.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's
done.
Fair
and then the aggression begins.
Done.
Yeah. You know?
These offices we're in right now.
Yeah, probably gone. Mm. Probably gone.
It has to be a clubhouse or a shop.
And then it's like cultural icons that I bring in for the earliest signings, you know.
Who are we talking?
Like Vivienne Westwood. Right, do you know what I mean? I'm thinking Soho legends.
Yeah.
Peter Cook. Do you know what I mean? Me.
Yeah.
And Jude Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham.
Yeah. Just because it'd be good to have just like a great player in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to play for the future that everyone wants to sign. Yeah. Mm. So what role are the others playing? What's Vivienne Westwood doing in the team?
I'm guessing kit.
What? Yeah, she'll be involved in the kit. But it's you know, it's about creating a whole new brand. So it starts off just like any psychotic regime. It begins with hearts and minds, you know. So it's cultural. So that you've got these legends of Soho. You've got Peter Cook. You've got Vivienne Westwood. You've got me. You might have Peter O'Toole in there as well. Do you know what I mean? And you've got like people bringing joy, bringing history, bringing new ideas.
Yeah.
And you know, at the helm, you want a mixture of experience and like visionary. Like a young visionary in second in command. So thinking Len Goodman as manager.
Len Goodman. Yeah.
Because he just sounds like a football manager.
You'd want Len announcing how much added time would be going on
in the hope that he's just...
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Would you build it brick for brick as Selhurst Park in Soho, or is it a new stadium?
No, I think we'd do it new. And we'd take bits from like the rubble that we've created in Soho and build that. Have Ronnie Scott in the team as well, actually, now I think.
Ronnie Scott's in there.
Because he sounds like a footballer, doesn't he? Ronnie Scott up front.
He's just broken Ronnie Scott's record from 1957. I also think that Central London has missed a football team. Like, you've got all these teams that exist around, say like on the fringes of London. There's never been a Central London football team.
Are you changing the name, therefore? Because obviously it's not based.
No, I think Crystal Palace is still good, but it will take on, like, for example, the badge. I was thinking it'll be like the crystal from the Dark Crystal. So it's just be like, just set the tone for something really fucking ominous.
Right. Yeah. So you'll know.
Pier Mundi underneath that. You've got the Dark Crystal there. We're still called Crystal Palace. We still have Eagles. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Eagles sort of work with military anyway.
Eagles is good. So we used to have a real Eagle at Selhurst Park, Kayla, before she died tragically. And she would do a flyby before kickoff. But now I'm thinking, like, train up, like, 10 to 20 of them. So they're almost like the evil monkeys from Wizard of Oz. And that, like, rile them all week, right? Yeah. And then you let them loose. But there's a dead mouse strapped to each, underneath each away seat. It's just fucking carnage.
Yeah, come the away end.
Chaos ensues.
You will get pecked to death.
And it's, you know what I mean? Like, get the atmosphere going for each kickoff.
This has very much a kind of baddie and Batman feel to it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Really kind of like...
Hank Scorpio.
I imagine the sky over Soho is kind of like quite dark, mm-hmm. maybe with like a little bit of mm-hmm. emerald thunder every now
that
and then.
That kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You could like do different coloured gels in the floodlights as mm-hmm. well, if you really want to create an atmosphere.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like red. That's sorry, red gels red. In the floodlights. Just...
That's also the most theatrical reference. Red gels. Like, to the layperson who doesn't know what a gel is, I think we should probably explain, because I think what's happened here, there's three...
We're on tour at the moment, and you're saying, can we have some fancy lights?
There's three performers mm-hmm. in a studio space in our agents' offices in Soho.
We're in the West End.
So gel is basically, it's the I think, to dumb it down, you know when you get Quality Street and the wrappers are blue or yellow or green, essentially, in theatre terms, it's those wrappers that you put over lights.
You put over lights and they make the pitch red.
Or green.
Yeah.
Or blue. Or exactly whatever you want it to be. So,
and I think it's a great idea.
Create an atmosphere, booming music, you know.
I'll look into that. And of course, we'll be so close to theatre land that access to gels.
Yeah, exactly.
Be
easy.
No skin off my nose.
Out of work actors can also be stewards.
Yes.
You know, at 3 o'clock and then go off to the evening performance. Yeah, that is the matinee.
You're the matinee.
Yeah, part of the matinee. So obviously you've got this image and you've got this mindset. What are you doing with the players? Are you going to be helping bring in players? What kind of players are you going to be bringing in that fit in with this team's approach?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. And so initially I was thinking, like I said, of cultural icons of Soho and the world of entertainment. But at some point, we're going to have to knuckle down and reflect the general sort of villainous nature of, you know, the vision.
Yeah,
for the future. So I think probably we're going to have to import a lot of violence. So maybe Edmundo, what was his nickname? Was he the animal, the beast?
I don't know.
The something. He was the something horrible. We'll get him in. Joey Barton, maybe, with
Barton's
like a box,
back on the scene,
box of Cubans.
It is in the technical area.
Yeah, just ready to go. Just fill it with horrible bastards.
People with bad disciplinary records.
But this is all something that I will start to work in after we've won hearts and minds. You know,
got you.
So you increase the fan base.
Yeah, you know, start to terrify other teams and their supporters. Purely with the quality of football at first, but then, you know, the Eagles, the mice scenario.
The mice scenario sounds like a great book, by the way. The mice scenario.
The scary gels. the shirts as well. The shirts will be a weird thing that people will have to start getting used to. But everything about it is going to be suggesting something nightmarish, but it won't actually be nightmarish until we've won everything.
Then it gets terrifying. That's the plan. You win everything.
That's where Barton comes into his own.
Oh God!
Are you seeing Barton then that far in the future that he's almost is like a military general?
By that stage, yeah, he'll be out there because you know I'm not fighting. I'm not getting my hands dirty. I'm behind the scenes, so Barton will be out there in the field. You know, cigar in mouth like George Peppard.
Military uniform, like military a dictator's uniform,
absolutely. All with that ominous sort of
Kim
crystal
style,
crystals insignia on the chest.
Also, there's quite a few shops in Soho that have military style esque, kind of like outfits that are more kind of
being
like
a club shop.
Kinky.
You can just take them over.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. Oh, so you say the shirts are changing from your normal.
Yeah, because the red and blue is going to be scratch and sniff. So the red smells like pepperoni, and the blue smells like fresh, like an after dinner mint.
Oh, lovely.
Because when you initially asked me to do this podcast, I thought like I the first thing I'd do is rename the stadium Pizza Express Stadium, just because I love I love the American hot and I just want like free stuff. I want as many free pizzas
well,
as possible.
Famously,
so thinking,
the Pizza Express is just down the road in Soho that would be on the corner of your stadium downstairs.
It's perfect.
It's jazz.
It's just jazz.
Yeah.
So you've got Ronnie Scott, and then you've got there's a very big jazz influence here as well. We've also obviously mentioned the parking ticket incident as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that's quite nice. And also, the pepperoni and also minty. That's nice.
You've got
nice
before and the before and after.
Bit of yin and yang. Mm. I like that.
Is it supposed to put opposition teams off? For like any shirt pulling, you're suddenly just getting a whiff of pepperoni.
Oh, that's great. Your hands don't
smell of pepperoni. I think it's incredibly distracting.
Yeah, it must be.
Any veggie or vegan players aren't going to go anywhere near them.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
So it's just Chris Smalling then.
Is Chris Smalling vegan?
He's the only one I can think of.
Oh, I think the vegan majority of the... Didn't Forest Green have to go vegan? I think that was like within their...
I think they had to dabble in a vegan diet, but like I think it's more flexitarian.
But,
the food there is...
This is a bit more ambitious than playing against Forest Green, I think.
Forest Green would be the first team we'd crush out of existence. Because the way I see it, there's a lot of sort of... Blood is tied into this in some way, shape or form. You're at the Pizza Express Stadium, so
even saying it is right.
And you know, I want one of those really cynical tourism related sponsorships on the sleeve.
Yeah.
So visit Bora Bora. Because
one of the countries that you're going to go in and
it's a place,
take over?
Initially, I'd love to visit as many times as possible for free until, of course, eventually.
The military coup.
Send in the Crystal Palace military.
Exactly. And then for just our main sponsor, I was going to go for meat.
Meat?
Yeah.
Just meat.
Just
as a concept.
General meat.
Unspecified meat.
It's because it's partly it's a nostalgic thing.
So wait, does it just say the word meat
the
across
word
the
meat?
Middle?
Yeah. It's partly nostalgic because when I was a kid, IRL, the League Cup was sponsored by milk.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Dairy Crest. It wasn't Nestle. It was just general milk.
The milk cup. Yeah.
Which I just thought, it's phenomenal, and it's never been done since. So it's a little nod to that, more sinister.
It is more sinister, for the modern world. It's a bit more tough to get away with.
People are like, well, you mean Richmond sausages? No, just general meat.
Can you remember when
human flesh.
Can you remember when West Brom, their sponsor was the no smoking sign?
Yeah, amazing. I really want that shirt.
No.
West Brom, I really want that shirt. It looks amazing.
Had just the no smoking sign.
And it doesn't say no smoking. It's literally
it just
the logo.
It was just a symbol of no smoking.
Very sick.
And it was like a local campaign to basically stop people smoking in the stadiums around, like to better health in the West Bromwich area. And they said no smoking. So I think that's also, you know, a lovely little nod as well.
Yeah,
you know, just
definitely.
For the meat.
Milk. Milk and meat.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Well, actually, because I was going to say, I assume that the catering in the stadium is all done by Pizza Express.
Absolutely.
But are you getting any, you know, I feel like if the sponsor's meat on the shirt, then you want some sort of like Bodine's type situation. You want some barbecue in there.
Yeah.
Biltong.
You want some big steaks. It's almost like you want to see the, you know, the sort of carcasses hanging like you would in a butchery.
Well, you know, the one thing we've never had at Selhurst Park is a range of food options. Like, it's not like Spurs, you know, where... You've got cheesemongers there now.
Oh, all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah.
It's now everything you...
They were supposed to have a cheese room, but it actually got canned.
Yeah, that is true. I think actually it was a fake rumour.
I don't know. I've seen the plans. I was involved in it.
I believe it.
The phrase cheese room is like a bat signal to you, isn't it, Lloyd?
Yeah.
So you just go, oh,
I smelt it. Yeah. Which is weird because I'm lactose intolerant.
So it's Pizza Express, but then you might also have several options.
Yeah,
meat
options. I'll talk to them about it.
Any vegetarian options in there?
No. It's just bread. If you want vegetables, there's going to be Doebles.
Yeah, of course. Doebles, yeah. Of course, yeah.
Could be seen as a weapon, though, for the pitch.
Could be. Yeah.
Who is the kit sponsors? Obviously, you've got meat there. Who's the kit sponsors? Anything that springs to mind?
You know what? This is one thing I'd not considered at all. Who makes the kit? Who makes the uniforms in Pyongyang?
Well, you could do Hugo Boss. I mean, they've got a bit of a history with
Hugo
uniforms.
Hugo Boss.
Nice. Hugo Boss, yeah. I think you could probably just get them outsourced from Pyongyang. Mm. Lovely jackets. Lovely kind of like workwear jackets, aren't they, really?
Yeah, and just like hard wearing, you know. Yeah. You see that, especially like in terms of training stuff, training wear.
Training wear. It's just like...
Wow, yeah. All these, you don't realise until you mention that you're turning your football team into a military, that a lot of these words do apply, like recruitment and training. Mm-hmm. They just, it's just the same.
Drills.
Drills.
Young, healthy men from wherever you can find them.
Yeah.
Conscription.
Youth team.
The
Hitler youth team.
Training camps. Penalty. Let's move on.
On the bus, on the plane.
Mascot. Obviously, you've talked about...
Surely a big one for the branding.
You've talked about obviously having
Eagles.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Is there going to be... Does it end there? Is it just Eagles? Are you bringing anything else? And is it something that, as you say, later on you bring in once you've won the hearts and minds?
Yeah. I mean, I think... Like at the moment, we have two mascots. We've got Pete and Alice, the Eagles, who are married in mascot world and IRL, which is really cute. But we've never discussed the next generation of mascot. Who are the offspring of Pete and Alice? And I think it's a great opportunity to create a new origin story, you know, in the same way that, you know, you meet Superman, you initially as a baby and you meet his parents, you no idea what power he's going to possess. So we could do something like that, you know, the spawn, and just have like, just, I don't know, maybe four or five like identical little Eagles. Yeah. You don't know who's in there. Is it kids? Are they dwarves? We're not sure, right? Yeah. And they just do a sort of like strange march up and down. They don't acknowledge anybody. They just come out. They come out, they do a march up the touchline, and then they just go back in.
Like a military march.
Yeah. And you know, especially for away fans, they're like, did that just happen? They're not sure, you know?
Yeah, I think the away fans will be preoccupied with the mice situation.
Yeah. The mice scenario. Those Eagles are the last of their worries.
Yeah, I think that'll be, you know, year 10 of my reign. You know, once we've won everything, that the 20 Eagles and the mice under the chairs, I think that'll be like in that last season.
And that's when people really start to clock.
They start to go, wait a fucking
something's
minute.
Happening here. Something's happening. This is out
I'm
of control.
Telling you, Fulham could take a note out of this book, man. Like, they're too nice. They're too cuddly. Craven Cottage is a lovely place to go. That's why no one takes them seriously.
Yeah, I also think that Fulham don't take advantage of the fact that they're by the water. Yeah. I'd use that more of a kind of like, away fans, oh, you want to come to it? Yeah, it's by boat.
There you go.
Yeah, by boat. Sorry about the holes in the boat.
The door as you leave the away stand should just open up
into the Thames.
Yeah, I just think that it's too like, oh, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Fulham Palace Road. No, not Fulham Palace Road. Mm. Giving them an embankment. Sorry, it's high tide.
There you go. Get that slope in that they've got outside the Tower of London. They used to just roll the bodies into the
the Thames. By Traitor's Gate.
Traitor's Gate.
With this football club, obviously we ask new owners about rules they're bringing in, either for the footballers themselves, for the fans. And it seems to me there's very much a theme here that rules will be implemented again, probably later on, once you've won the hearts and minds. Are there any rules or regulations that you're going to bring into any element of the football club?
There's an early one before it all turns. I'd quite like to bring back the drinking culture in football.
That's good.
Yeah, so like a resurgence of like hard drinking.
Tuesday club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pre-match,
ideally, post-match. Yeah, twice a week, pre and post match, and a little bit of half time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the old school days.
Little half time snifter.
Yeah.
I want to see more puking on the touch lines.
And is Pizza Express providing these drinks, or is it just the wine list?
Yeah, it's just
Peroni and the wine list.
Just Peroni Zero.
Peroni and a lovely little Rioja. little chaser.
Fantastic stuff.
No, that's good.
That will definitely be a rule. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come in and like boss people around necessarily initially, because I just think it's
save that for later.
Yeah, I it's hearts and minds first. So, you know, we'll be in Soho. It's a party part of town. I think the drinking needs to come back. I mean, if you look at what's happening in football right now, like with Ivan Toney and the gambling stuff. Players are so bored that they're putting like 1,000 bets on their own games. We need to bring back more traditional forms of addiction.
Well, interesting you say that.
It's very interesting.
Our supercomputer throws up scenarios. Obviously, it's going to analyse whether you're fit and proper to run a club. I'm sure you're confident at the moment. But it also throws up scenarios to deal with, see how you do, right, just to get a last bit of information. And actually, this one, quite timely. One of your players is involved in a huge betting scandal. Over 300 bets placed, and all of them correct. Yes, 200 of them are about things in his control, like when the first throw-in will be or how many Rabona kickoffs he'll do. Mm. But the remaining 100 are beyond his remit in matches he's not playing in, and they've all come in. But rather than being charged with this, he's being lauded as an oracle, a mystic Meg, a sort of Paul the Octopus type character, and he's become the new face of like Fun88 and all various betting companies. What's worrying, though, is his latest bet is that you won't be the owner come Christmas. And given his track record, everyone believes it. The fans have all started betting on it as well. They've all begun wishing you away so they can just start the new reign.
Oh, my Lord.
Do you reprimand him and ask that he publicly take it back, or do you just get in on the action before selling up?
I mean, it's a huge question. I guess the main concern really is his, you know. What he doesn't realise is that he's never actually been into the office at the into my office at the Pizza Express
arena.
And if he had, he'd come face to face with the faceless investors, and then I think what you'd find is he'd fall into line pretty quickly.
So he's the only person that's going to see these faceless investors then?
Yes, but the thing is, if he does see them, there's very little you'll hear about him or of him again. So I think...
Like Medusa.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, he disappears.
Ah, he's just off the... the Thames.
No one knows how. I don't know how.
You open the door, straight in the water.
That is interesting.
Mm. I think he's gone.
He's gone.
Oh, wow.
This is so sinister.
Wow.
I love it. But at the same
and
time...
that's probably going to be a pretty early tell that something big's happening military-wise.
Well, the
dictatorship is beginning.
I prefer in the news for it to say something big's happening at the former Selhurst Park. Something big is happening down there.
Really?
Know? Yeah. I want to see the pundits going, there's something happening over there, you know, with the thumb. There's something happening over there. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Something big's happening there.
And cheaper cinema tickets.
It's a different era over there.
Something's brewing.
Something's brewing at Palace.
Something's brewing in Soho.
Mm.
That is, yeah. Mm. This is interesting. Well, we have to put all this information into the supercomputer to see if you are indeed a fit and proper owner. And I'm just wondering whether the supercomputer is, in fact, scared. And
it's a bit ominous. The gels are in the lights. Let's just say that.
Oh, I don't mind that. Okay, here we go. Let's just pop this into the supercomputer right now.
Just make sure you type in fuck the world as well in Latin.
Puemundi.
Oh, wow, there's fear in the supercomputer's voice. Oh my god.
Well, I've not heard that noise before.
Good.
That is interesting. Reese, do you want to read out what it says?
Yeah, the verdict is, and this is the largest font we've ever seen from the supercomputer.
Wow.
And the largest and capital letters. Mm. Fit and proper.
Wow.
You are fit and proper. Thing. And this is what I love about football, because I think the cream rises, and I think good people are always, you know, good people recognise good people.
The text is shaking. The text is literally shaking.
Yeah. I'm
when you
pleased.
Go to delete an app and they all shake out of
fear.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's what's happening
on the supercomputer.
It's great. It's a good thing. And it's a reminder as well that football doesn't have to be this cesspit of, you know, ugliness. That there's there's still people who can come through with a vision, and that vision can be respected.
I'm really quite scared how calm you're speaking here.
Yeah, the conviction.
I feel like I'm being gaslit. On the
it
podcast.
Feels like we asked you the podcast, and then you like pulled out a paper you've had in a drawer for 10 years. And went, oh, finally, I can finally talk about my plans. Like you didn't prep this for this. This has been in your head forever.
Yeah. This. Yeah. Well. I think that all Palace fans will get involved in this. Mm. I think they'll kind of come round to the fact that, yeah, you're right. Do you know what I mean? We need to be the team that
ask appears. Any Palace fan. We're sick of being scared.
Mm.
We're sick to death of being scared. I'm sick of being scared of the first minute of every second half when we switch off and suddenly, you know, some idiot who never scores is running rings about. I'm sick of being scared of Vince Gaeta rolling it out to Joel Ward. I don't want to be scared anymore.
You want to be feared.
Wilfred hamstring. That's how much it's on my brain. Wilfred Zaha has done his hamstring. You know,
Wilfred hamstring is the perfect name. For
also, no, the surprise in your face you just said that was quite incredible. Oh my gosh,
Wilfred hamstring. Oh, okay, dear. I'm sick of being scared of Wilfred hamstring. You know, I'm just sick of it. I thought we'd moved on. We're still without Zaha. We're completely toothless. I'm sick of being scared of playing Brighton. I'm sick of being scared of relegation. I'm sick of being scared.
Yeah.
We're all sick of being scared. And what I'm offering is a future where no eagle will have anything to fear from anyone in the world of football or in the world itself.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, what an episode of things that, again, we just didn't see coming. I'm finally so glad there is a football team in central London.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good shout, isn't it? It is. That is a big deal. I mean, I'm not sure this is the football team for central London, given that, you know, central London, Soho is all about freedom, being free spirits, you know, sort of hippie-ish. Yes. It's not for Kim Jong-un dictator level. I mean, it's literally he's trying to make a military. The football team is a ruse for a military. I believe he said would invade exclusively vulnerable countries.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, let's not go too deep into it. You'd have to be a football fan to like this podcast, but a bit of politics. You know what's going on at the moment, and exactly that is what is happening. So, but
I think you are dressed actually like a Pizza Express worker.
Yeah, chef.
You look like the chefs at Pizza Express. You're wearing the exact T-shirt they wear.
Black and white T-shirt.
To be honest, I really am. I know I said it at the time, but I really am on board with the idea of getting some proper mainstream catering in football stadiums.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When Spurs were at Wembley for a year, when you got a burger at Wembley, it's a cheeseburger, right? But it's not a slice of cheese on the burger. It is a cheese-like sauce. It literally says on the menu, a cheese-like sauce. Oh. And it's the most disgusting, like, plasticky yellow. I want some gross American burger cheese, but not like in a sauce in liquid form.
I keep talking about it. Grimsby Town have some of the best food out there. Footy Scram, the Twitter account, lives off the fact that Grimsby Town produce some incredible food. So,
what do you have at Grimsby then?
Oh, what do we have at Grimsby? A Scotch egg that Rob Beckett did a 5-minute routine about when he came to Grimsby and did the auditorium. He said he had two bites. He went, I've got the biggest teeth in the world. Still didn't get to the egg. That's how much meat there is in there. You can have pulled pork loaded nachos. You can have a quesadilla. You can have a Yorkshire pudding with a full roast dinner inside the Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
It's very good food.
Any vegetarian or vegan options?
Yeah, water.
Yeah, you can have water.
Water and water also salt and pepper. Salt and pepper, I think ketchup.
Oh, right. Yeah. So everyone's accommodated.
Yeah, obviously there are. I mean, there's very lazy hack approach there that I've just taken to that kind of little bit of bassinage. Bassinage?
Badinage.
Hmm. But, yeah, there are absolutely vegetarian and vegan options. But I do like the idea of Pizza Express being in a football stadium. So, I mean, if I'm honest, I'm surprised that the supercomputer actually said fit and proper, but you seem to
have read. Well, it probably was the dictatorship, you know. The implied genocide was probably the issue rather than the catering. But I think it balances out. I think you're right. And I think you got unlucky.
Hey, if you like this,
go check out Ben Bailey Smith / Doc Brown on all the social medias, on YouTube. Watch, just look. He went viral back in the day for the Russell Howard set, and there's a reason for it. The raps are absolutely fantastic. They're so, and also his actual album he released a few years after that, real rap, not comedy rap, was very sensational. Good. But also, you can see him in everything. He's in every show, isn't he? These days, acting
everything. It just pops up, and you go, "Is that Ben Bailey Smith?"
Yeah. And next time you see a rap on a British TV advert, which is all the time, there's a good chance that you know who wrote it. It was me.
It was not you. You do little poems, and they're really
it weird. Was. Hey,
but if you've enjoyed this podcast, please do give us a little review. A 5-star one would be absolutely delectable. It helps us get found a little bit more.
And to let us know that it was off the back of this episode, just say something like 5 stars. Try the dough balls.
Try the dough balls.
Try the dough balls.
Try the dough balls. Not too off menu, but try the dough balls.
Oh yeah, it is a bit off. Oh God. And we have mentioned dough balls.
And we have mentioned water. Right.
We have mentioned water.
Before we go to prison, let's go home.
Goodbye.
Bye.